2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. If you're reading the King James or another similar translation, you'll notice it's a parenthetical statement. For we walk by faith, not by sight. That's my message today. We walk by faith and not by sight. God bless you. Please be seated. So fascinated by this parenthesis in a passage of scripture. Every scripture has a we call it a text. It has a context. It has a neighborhood in which it lives, a setting that gives light and gives meaning to that. And I kind of went down a little path of reading some of the parenthetical statements in the writings of the Apostle Paul. Well, we don't worship Paul, we worship Jesus Christ, but we're thankful for the writings of the Apostle Paul, who gave us great instruction in serving God and how to live for God. What Paul says before and after this parenthetical statement is a weighty matter, and it lives in a neighborhood that speaks about faith and sight, seeing things and unseen things. In the previous chapter, and you know, we're a Bible preaching, teaching church, so we're gonna teach and preach the Bible today. 2 Corinthians 4:16. This is leading up to chapter 5, of course. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for but a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So we may be going through some things, but it's not for nothing. What we're experiencing seems pretty heavy right now, but if you really look in the context of eternity, it's a light affliction. And compared to forever, it is for but a moment. But it is working for us. It's accruing to something eternal. It is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So it's doing something in my life, even though at the time it may feel heavy and it goes on forever. You have to look in the light of eternity. And then he says, verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're earthly. They're for a time. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, ungodly people, people who are not people of faith, all they can do is look at seen things. Jesus spoke about Gentiles or unsaved people that they live for something to eat or drink or something to wear or a place to live, for what they can accumulate. They don't think they have a heavenly Father, so it's up to them. So they're fixated and preoccupied by the things that they can see because that's what they live for, that's what they live on. But Paul says, those of us who are believers, we don't fixate, we're not preoccupied by the things which we can see. We know we have a heavenly Father who's promised to take care of us. He knows what we need before we even ask. He loves us more than the lilies of the field, and he takes care of us. That's what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. He loves us more than sparrows, and not one of them dies without his understanding and knowledge of that. But we're more valuable to him than that. So we have a heavenly Father. So we can let our gaze transcend what is seen to see things that are not visible to the human eye. Now that sounds like, how can you see something that you cannot see? Well, that's the whole point of faith. Godly people see unseen things. Things that last for time are the things that you can see with your natural eye. Things that last for eternity are things you cannot see with the natural eye. And then in his writing, back in when this was written, it didn't have chapter breaks and verses. It's a letter that is addressed to the church at Corinth, but written for all of us. So now Paul goes into a discussion about time and eternity, about life and death, about the here and now and the hereafter. So I want to read through, you know, the New Living Translation. You won't see all of these verses. He said that we know when this earthly tent, he calls your body a tent, a temporary dwelling. Remember, Abraham and his sons lived in tents. They were nomadic. They were kind of passing through. He said, if the tent that we live in, our earthly body, if it is taken down when we die and we leave this earthly body, then those of us who are saved, let me pause right now to say how you get saved. You cannot get to heaven because of how good you are, because of how you were born the first time. If you're going to heaven, you have to be born again, born from above, born of water and of the Spirit. Just like a natural birth has water and the breath of life, your second birth, your new birth, also has a birth of water. That's why we celebrate baptisms in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. It's not joining a church, it's joining Christ. It's being born of water. When you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, you're born of the Spirit. You're born into the kingdom of God. You're a son or daughter of Almighty God. You have a down payment of what you're going to receive in eternity. It's a powerful thing. Amen. So those of us, we have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself, not made with human hands. Then he said, we grow weary in our present bodies and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. We're going to take off the tent of this humanity and put on an immortal body. And he said, for we will put on heavenly bodies, but we will not be spirits without bodies. He said, we're going to live in these earthly bodies now, and we groan and we sigh. It's not that we want to die. Nobody's hopefully has a death wish. Paul's saying, I'm not wishing for an early death. He just said, I know there's something better, that this body is getting older. This body can't be diseased. This body can't be taken out by an accident. But he said, we're looking forward to a new body so that death will be swallowed up by life. And he said, it is an assurance of that hope of eternity and a new body and living with Christ forever. He said, God has given us a guarantee. The King James has said it's an earnest. It's a down payment on something to come. It is the Holy Ghost. Amen. So when God filled you with the Holy Ghost, it's just a little portion of what you're going to have one day. It's a taste of what heaven will be like, but it's also God's guarantee that he put his Spirit in you and you will live forever. Amen. And then he has this parenthetical statement that we'll get back to. And Paul goes on. And he writes a little more about life and death and time and eternity, what you can see and what you cannot see. He said, yes, we're fully confident that we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we would be at home with the Lord. So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please him, for we must all stand before Christ to be judged, and we will each receive what we deserve, whether good or evil, that we have done with this earthly body. Now, I need to do a little time out, not part of my sermon, but that's why we are a church. That's why we do ministry. That's why we built a building, because we realize that every human being will one day stand before God. This is not about having fellowship, although that's good. This is not about just a belief system, although that is essential. This is about where you will spend eternity. And we live in a city that is largely lost without God and destined to an eternal lake of fire. That's why we do what we do. That's why we teach and preach what we teach and preach, because it really is everything. Amen. So Paul said, we've got this tension we live in for all believers. We live in time, but we were made for eternity. We live on the earth, but we were made for heaven. We have an earthly existence, but that is not our eternal destiny. We have mortal bodies that we need to take care of, but when a believer dies, they have hope of a better body, a better resurrection. So it is in passing that Paul alludes to this idea of what happens at the resurrection. But back in the previous book he wrote, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it's a passage that we read a lot at a committal service, at a graveside, when Paul said, for this corruptible, this human body that gets sick, gets tired, gets old, and eventually dies, he said, this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal body that is destined for death must put on immortality. So what is restricted by time now is unrestricted and will live forever. Then he says, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and when this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, that death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. I'm not preaching a funeral today, and I'm not sad or down today, but I'm just telling you that if you're living for what you can see, if you're living for the here and now, you're not really living the best life and the right life, for you are destined to live forever. You were created in the image and likeness of God. And what sin stole and how death came, Jesus Christ came to give us eternal life. Amen. That is the great hope of every believer. So we don't look at things we can see. We look at things that are unseen, that are eternal. I'm not talking about scientific realities, about the molecules that you can't see, or atoms or neutrons and protons. I'm talking about the spiritual world that is more real than the visible world, than the natural world. Well, Paul said, you know, we shouldn't despise this body. It is what it is, but aren't you glad there's a better body coming that doesn't hurt, that doesn't get sore after a move-a-thon, all our runners, and doesn't disease and doesn't die, a better body. But while I'm there, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. You've been bought by a price, and you should glorify God in your body and in your spirit, because they belong to God. Our bodies are to be holy, set apart to God, not given to immorality or anything that would defile the temple of the Holy Ghost. We should not destroy our body with things that are addictive, things that are destructive, things that undermine the holiness of our body. But even on your best day, no matter how you care for this body, even the richest persons in the world can succumb to cancer, illness, heart disease, and eventually every one of us, if the Lord does not come first, we will die. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. Our mortal bodies remind us that there must be more to life than what you can see and hold in your hand, what you can live for in time. And it is in this whole idea, this context, that the Apostle Paul says, hang on a minute. We walk by faith, not by sight. But let's be real about this. We do walk by sight. We do walk by perception of the natural world. God gave us tremendous faculties to be able to perceive the world. Touch, taste, smelling, hearing, seeing. He equipped us to perceive the natural world and the blessings. Aren't you glad you can see the beauty of the earth that God created for us, is one in a billion places where people can live, and God put us here to love and enjoy it and the blessings of the Lord, amen? So thank God that, now we don't have the sharpest eyes or vision or hearing of all the animal kingdom, but thank God we can see and enjoy. But there are some people, Jesus called them the Gentiles, the unbelievers. There are people that you work with and live around, and maybe people who are sitting here right now, and everything they live for is what you can see and touch and taste and spend and buy and use. But I'm here today to tell you that there is more than that to life. Amen. And we who are the people of God, we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. There's more to life than that. Now, when you look at these two words. Faith and sight may look like two totally different ways to live, and that would be true. But there's more to it than just saying we walk by faith. Some people walk by sight. You live this way, I live that way. There's a lot of people that think all belief systems are the same. You have faith, I have faith. You believe your way, I believe my way. But what Paul is saying here is more than two different ways to live. He's talking about a superior way to live. That faith is not inferior to sight. Faith is not equal to sight. But walking by faith, living by faith, is superior to living by sight. If you're living for what you can see and have and hold, you are living an inferior life. Jesus made a statement about this in Luke 12 and 15. He said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, the desire to get more, get what they've got. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Your life is more than what you can accumulate. And then he told a story. He said there was a man. He was a very rich man, and he was a farmer. And one year, things just went crazy in a good way. He had so much income and so many crops produced, a bumper crop. And he started thinking about what to do with all of this increase. You could give it away. But he thought to himself, what I really need to do, because I don't have room in my current barns to hold all the stuff that just, we harvested. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pull down my barns. I'm going to build bigger barns. And then I'll have room to put all the stuff that I've accumulated. And then after I've got more goods, I've got a bigger retirement, I'm going to say to my soul, nothing against retirement, by the way. I will say to my soul, soul. You have much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. Isn't that the end of life? To get stuff, get more stuff, take care of the next few years or however long you will live. It is not that this man was foolish as a businessman. It's not that he was dumb to build bigger barns. The problem was in a wrong focus. He was living by sight. And the Bible said that God spoke to this man and said, thou fool. He wasn't a foolish businessman. He was a foolish human being. He said, this night, your soul is going to be required of you. The Lord said, tonight, you are going to die. And then, who's going to get all the stuff that you've accumulated? Who's going to get the barns that you plan to build? And then Jesus said, so is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This man did not do anything that was overtly sinful, but it was a wrong focus. He was living and walking by sight and not by faith. Today, I've come to you, and most of you are believers. You are saved. You are Christians. And I would say to you what Paul wrote to all of us, that we live in an earthly tabernacle, in a temporary earthly dwelling. But we are not living for now. We are living for then. We are not living for here. We are living for there. And because we have a focus on the eternal, we walk by faith and not by sight. The true value of a person's life is not calculated by what they get, but by what they give, by what they contribute to the world. And while all of us live in this natural world, we should take care of our natural earthly obligations. I want to be fair and balance today that the Bible says, 1 Timothy 5 and 8, that if you do not provide for your own house, then you are you have departed from the faith. You've denied the faith, and you are worse than an infidel. So if you're a deadbeat and you're not taking care of your family, you're not really a true believer in Jesus Christ. You've denied the faith, which is you take care of your family. Amen. The Bible also said, the writings of Paul again, that he said, I've heard that some of you in Thessalonica, that they don't work at all. And he said, I'm going to tell you that if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. And that makes you really hungry, and then you'll go to work if you're not living on a handout when you have the ability to work. And he said, I've heard that there are some of you that are walking disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. They're trying to solve everybody else's problem. And he said, I commanded and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ. He name drops Jesus. I exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness all these people would work and eat their own bread. In other words, there's some things that God put you here to be a steward of, and you need to take care of these natural obligations. But while we live and work and provide for needs in the natural world, that's not the highest value of our life. We realize that our earthly existence, this tent that we live in, will one day be dissolved. And when it does, if we die in the faith, then we're going to put on a body that will live forever, that is not corruptible, that does not get sick, that doesn't get tired, that doesn't age. Amen. It's an immortal body that we're going to put on. That's what Paul was writing about, that we walk by faith and not by sight, that faith is superior to sight. Amen. We see the eternal while living in the temporal. A couple Wednesday nights ago, I was teaching on the left hand of God, that element of surprise when God works in unorthodox and undetermined ways, that were not undetermined, but unexpected ways. And I told the story that I want to share today. The king of Syria hates Elisha, and he's determined to find him. And what's really weird about this story is Elisha's been telling the king of Israel every place the Syrian army is camped. He should know that you can't outsmart God. But he says, we're going to go find Elisha and we're going to take him. So they send and they spy out and they find that Elisha and his servant, just two people, they're down at the city of Dothan, not Alabama. And so they sent horses and chariots, a great host. They're sneaking up on a prophet and his servant, and they come by night because they know Elisha is dangerous, right? He can prophesy and see things that he doesn't know with the human mind. And they surrounded the city. Early in the morning, Elisha's servant got up, and he knew that things were not really looking good for them, that the Syrian king wants to kill him. And he goes outside the house, and he looks around, and all around them, the whole city was surrounded by Syrian chariots and horses and warriors. And he goes back in the house and he says to Elisha, Master, alas, how shall we do? Now, I love what he says, not really, but it's not like, Master, what shall we do? How shall we do? Like, what do you think? Are we going to get trampled under a chariot? Think they're going to shoot an arrow and kill us like that? Or run us through with a sword or a spear? How shall we do? Because we're surrounded and it's looking bad. There's no way out. There's only two of us and there's a lot of them. There's a host of them. And Elisha says something that is not by sight. It is by faith and it is by the supernatural. He looks at his servant and he says to him, don't be afraid, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. The servant's thinking about this. He's like, well, last time I looked outside, they were all wearing the same uniform. It looked like they were all the bad guys. I didn't see any of our guys mixed in with their guys, and not even one. I don't know what's happening to the old prophet here, why he would say they that be with us are more than they that be with them. But, you know, Elisha sees the eyes of faith. It's not that there isn't an enemy out there. And I need to stop right here and say, it doesn't mean that there's not problems in your life. Doesn't mean that you're not surrounded. Doesn't mean that there's not stuff that's against you. You just have to, you have to have a different kind of vision. That is not something that you can see with the natural eye, but it is something you see with faith, amen. For faith is the evidence of things that you cannot see with the human eye. So Elisha just tells the servant, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. You just can't see them. So Elisha prays, and he says, Lord, open my servant's eyes. He's looking, he's seeing, and but there's something wrong with his vision. It might be 20/20, but it's a natural vision. And I need him to see another thing. That's what I'm praying that God would help us be able to do today, to look beyond here and now, to see the hereafter, to look beyond the adversaries of the day, to see the resources that God has given his people. We know that if everything goes wrong here, we've got hope there. If this body dies here, we've got a body there, amen. We walk by faith and not by sight. When you're preaching and all of a sudden you feel this turbocharge of the Holy Ghost. You know, God is making a connection. Amen, that God is helping someone. And I thank the Lord right now that he's helping someone walk by faith and not by sight. What you see right now in your life may not be very good. What you see right now might be discouraging, but I encourage you to look past what you can perceive in the natural, and would you see what God has? It's true, they that be with us are more than they that be with him. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We walk by faith and not by sight. So back to our story, Elisha prays and opened his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of this young man, and he saw, not here where the Syrian army was, but God opened his eyes and he saw up there. And the Bible said that the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. A fire. Round about Elisha. Something in another world. Not a different world only, but a superior world. The God of angel armies. The Lord of hosts, we would say. The God that controls everything. The God who is for us when everything else seems to be against us. Open his eyes that he can see that they that be with us are more than they that be with them. I want to say that to you today, that if you can see through the eyes of faith, your heavenly resources, your heavenly protection, your heavenly destiny, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. We are never outnumbered. We are never outgunned. We are never outmanned. We walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. I put this in my notes at 9:08 last night. I had a God moment while I was studying. And I wanted to say that if you are looking at impossibility and that is all you can see, you may feel surrounded, outmanned, outgunned. You may wonder why the Lord has allowed this to happen in your life, why the Syrians would be all around you. And I pray, like Elisha prayed, that your eyes would be opened to the heavenly reality. What I've already said, but here it is in my notes, they are more that be with us than they that be with them. Man's armies are nothing compared to the God of angel armies. Amen. There was another time Israel was outnumbered in the natural, and God sent one angel, and in one night he slew 185,000 enemy soldiers. For with God, nothing is impossible. Just one angel can defeat everything that is against us. Hell's armies and resources are nothing compared to the armies of the Lord. I love what Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, 18. He said, I beheld Satan, and I saw him fall like lightning from heaven. You know, when God decided to kick Satan, Lucifer, out of heaven, how long did it take? It wasn't a 15-round boxing match. It wasn't like a big tug of war. It wasn't a lengthy wrestling match. God just said, you're out of here. And Jesus said, I saw it happen in the spirit, right, as God. And he said, it was like lightning. He went from there to here. And when God gets ready, haven't you ever noticed in the Bible that when the Lord gets ready to take us off this earth, it will be in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You don't have to warm up. You don't have to work out. Your mortal body will put on immortality. Your corruptible will put on incorruption. And it will be just like that. In a moment. Revelation 20, the Bible said that there was one angel. He came down and he took the devil and Satan, that dragon, laid hold on him and he put him in the bottomless pit. Amen. He had a chain, chained him up for 1,000 years. So the devil, he's supposed to be the baddest dude on their side. We get this unnamed angel. It's not Gabriel. It's not Michael. We don't even know his name. It might be like God said, let me see, who's the weakest angel up here? Okay, you get picked last every time we have angelic softball games, but Memorial Day picnic, but you'll do. I need you to take care of something for me. I want you to get, oh, Lucifer, that serpent, that devil, that deceiver. Would you just go down here and put him in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years? They that be with us are more than they that be with them. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I say it again, we walk by faith and not by sight. The faith factor is the most important factor in your life. But let's talk about how faith people live and look. Hebrews 11, 13. Now, if you're new to church, Hebrews 11 is like the hall of faith. It's the Old Testament heroes who lived and died in faith. Some saw miracles, some saw death, but they all died in faith. And this is what the writer tells us in verse 13. These all died in faith. Aren't you glad they died in faith? Not in doubt. I think I said recently I'd rather die in faith than live in doubt. They died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them. So they saw them, they got persuaded in their mind, and they embraced them. And when they embraced them, then they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They were sojourners. Remember I said Abraham was a nomad. They lived in tents. They went from here to there. And that's how all of these heroes of faith saw themselves. That earth was temporary. That they were looking for something that was permanent. And they saw the promise at a distance. They testified that this world was not their home. They were just passing through. Verse 14. For they that say things, such things declare plainly that they seek a country. People that talk like that are walking by faith and not by sight. They're looking for some place that they've never been, but they have hope in, that they're going to go there. They have heaven on their mind. And they have eyes of faith that are fixed on the eternal. Verse 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Now here's a secret in walking by faith, not by sight. Don't look back. The reason some of you are confused, some of you are struggling, some of you are headed in the wrong direction is you've been looking in the wrong direction. And Hebrews says that they were not mindful of where they came from. Remember, the Israelites came out of Egypt. They were slaves there. But later they looked back and glorified Egypt, the leeks and the garlics and how good they had it there. And if you're not careful, if you live your life looking in the rearview mirror or looking into the past, you will have an opportunity to go there. If you look there, you'll go there. So they did not look back, so they never had an opportunity to go back. They didn't glamorize the past. Verse 16. But now, everybody say now. This chapter starts with now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, where God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. This passage really explains how we live. We've been delivered out of a sinful past. We're looking for a heavenly future. We're not looking back to where God brought us from, but we're looking ahead to the promises of God, and we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Now, related to this, I want to share a story with you. This past Tuesday, a friend of mine, Pastor Brent Watts, Abundant Life Church, Charlotte, North Carolina, suburb Matthews, he texted me and he said, "Can you call me?" And we set up a time and I called him and he said, "I want to tell you a story that you would never know if I did not share this with you." He gave me the background, and so I want to go back to the beginning of this story a little bit. There's a lady named Dayla Boyd that's a member of the church there. Her dad is a retired UPC pastor. In 2020, Dayla had COVID with double pneumonia. It turned into ARDS. She was put on a ventilator, put in an induced coma. They were not sure that she would survive. About 3 weeks later, she was rushed back to the ER, had to have a second trach to be intubated again. And in the surgical procedure, they clipped one of her tracheal rings and her trachea collapsed. The reason I know more details is I went back and watched her tell this testimony in her church on Mother's Day. So there are many doctors that she met with over the next year or so. And they said, "There is nothing more that we can do." She lost her voice. She could not speak one word because they had destroyed her larynx, her voice box, and a lot of damage to her trachea. In April of 2021, she got one of those electronic larynx devices that makes you sound like a robot. And that's the only way she could communicate is to push that button. And she could talk through that box. She had many procedures. She lost all of her hair. She had to learn to walk again. She lived with a lot of anxiety, but she had a deep abiding faith. 5.5 years, she could not speak a word without the use of that device. Over a long process of time that would take too long to tell, she was referred to a doctor at Emory Hospital in Atlanta. She came multiple times and met with that doctor, another doctor, a team of doctors, and their consultations. They gave her worst case scenarios, and by a lot of reluctance and concern because of the complexity of her case, she prayed and she chose to go through with the surgery that would be performed here in Atlanta on March 2nd, 2026. So she and her husband and maybe some other family members came to church here Sunday, March 1st. I did not get to meet them. I think they said they sat in the balcony. During the worship service, and Brother Ryan plans and prays and fasts like we all do. And he planned in the worship set a song, "I Believe." I believe you are who you say you are. You'll do what you said you'd do. You'll come through. You're always able. I believe you already made a way. I'm running through parted ways straight to you. You are always faithful. There is no way that we could have known what that song meant to Dayla. In her testimony to her church, she said, that was my anthem for 5.5 years. That was the song that kept me going when I got down. And here she was sitting in Atlanta West for the first time, and we sing the song that God had put in her heart, that it sustained her and brought her here on March 1st. Then there was the message that day, and I preached on the windows of heaven. You might remember that day because I felt like I was stepping just out of a pastoral role, almost into a prophetic role of declaring what God will do, that the windows of heaven are open. But in that message, there is a story of Samaria in a famine and the prophet saying that tomorrow about this time, food's gonna be dirt cheap and abundant in Samaria. And she said, when I said those words, something happened in her, and the Lord just spoke to her spirit, tomorrow about this time, things are gonna be different for you. I told my friend, Brother Watts, that I've known for many years, I said, Brother Watts, what's amazing about that is we can't do that. We can't pick the right song. We can't preach the right sermon. We cannot walk by sight and figure that stuff out. We don't even know this lady is here. We don't know about her 5.5 year journey, but God knows exactly where she is, what she's gone through, what she's facing. At the end of my message, I went back and copied and pasted my notes. I preached about miraculous deliverance, miraculous Holy Ghost filling, miraculous healing, miraculous power, miraculous provision. Early Monday morning, Dayla had a very delicate, difficult surgery, and the doctors continually warned her that if this does not go exactly right, you will not be able to breathe. There's nothing we can do and you will die. And she felt like she needed to do it. The surgery was scheduled for 5 to 7 hours. The doctor was supposed to come out and periodically give reports. But up to 4 hours, they had heard nothing. But at a little after 4 hours into surgery, the doctor came out and said it went better than we anticipated. It was a best case scenario. The doctor said we got a few good breaks. After recovery, they put her in ICU. There are lots of other things that unfolded after this. When her family and her pastor and his wife walked into ICU where she was there, she looked at her pastor and she said, praise God, Pastor, God's been good to me. She didn't have a little electronic voice. It was her voice that surgery and God had given her. I can't explain why God never supernaturally healed her in 5.5 years. I don't know why we're part of her story. I can just tell you that when you walk by faith and not by sight, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that is working in us. If you're able, would you stand right now? Praise God, Pastor. God's been good to me. Her voice is a little raspy. She got her daughter to start calling friends and family members. The nurse in the room said she's called everybody. She said she didn't talk very long, but when they got on the phone, she would just tell them, look what the Lord has done. That's the story you get after you walk by faith and not by sight. That's the story you get after the impossibility, after it cannot be done. That's how we walk. That's how we the church, we walk by faith and not by sight. Aren't you glad that we got to be a little part, to be a little part of an amazing testimony of a preacher's kid in Arkansas who didn't think she would ever speak again, but God can do beyond what we've ever dreamed or thought of. And he can, and he will do it for you. We walk by faith and not by sight. It's not a worse way. It's not a different way. It's a superior way to live your life. Would you close your eyes right now? And would you see by faith the answer to your prayer? Would you see by faith the miracle, the provision, the prodigal coming home, the salvation? We walk by faith and not by sight. And in the end, faith always wins.